Good morning.
Dobráno.
We continue today in this series of Paul's first missionary journey.
Dnes budeme opäť pokračovať v tej sérii o prvom misijnom výjazde Pavla.
Last week and the week before we learned what that missionary journey was all about.
A minulý týždeň a ten týždeň predtým sme si povedali, o čom to celé bolo.
This is the second portion of the book of Acts.
Toto je druhá polovica skutkov svätých apoštolov.
Where we begin to see the gospel, the good news being taken now instead of only to the Jews in Jerusalem, but now it's being taken to the utmost parts of the world.
Kde môžeme vidieť, ako dobrá správa evanjelium sa šíri už nie len medzi Židov, ale aj do všetkého ostatného poznaného sveta.
Which is what the disciples had been commanded to do in Acts chapter 1 verse 8.
Čo je presne to, čo učeníci, čo im bolo prikázané v skutkoch 1:8.
And we learned that Paul and Barnabas were commissioned or set apart by the Holy Spirit to do this work.
A povedali sme si, že Paul a Barnabáš boli oddelení na príkaz Ducha Svätého pre túto službu.
And they prayed over them and sent them out.
A oni sa na nich modlili a vyslali ich.
And then last week we learned some of their initial journey in Cyprus and this encounter with Elymas, this sorcerer, magician person.
A minulý týždeň sme hovorili o začiatku ich cesty, keď prišli na Cyprus a o tom, ako sa stretli s Elymasom, s tým čarodejníkom.
But real briefly, last week as we read that text, there was one small sentence.
Ale veľmi skrátke, minulý týždeň, keď sme čítali tento text, bola tam jedna krátka veta.
And let me turn to it real quick here. It was in Acts chapter 13, verse 5.
A bolo to v 13. kapitole skutkov, 5. verš.
My fingers aren't working. Here we go. And there it says that... Thank you. It said there that keď prišli do Salamini a hlasali Božie slovo v židovských synagogách, ako pomocníka mali zo sebou aj Jana. So we see all of a sudden this character named Jana, John.
Takže tu vidíme, že spolu s ním bol aj táto osoba, Jan.
But another text you also see him referred to as John Mark or Mark.
Ale v iných textoch, keby sme skúmali, tak môžeme nájsť túto osobu pod menom Jan Marek alebo Marek.
For instance, at the end of chapter 12, in verse 25,
napríklad na konci 12. kapitoly vo verši 25,
it says, keď sa Barnabáš a Saul po ukončení služby vrátili do Jeruzalema, vzali zo sebou aj Jana, ktorý sa volal Marek. So we see this character that has multiple names.
Takže stretáme tohto človeka, ktorý mal viacero mien.
Now this is the time when there had been a prophet named Agabus who had come to Antioch where Barnabas and Paul were already serving.
If you can, I'm sorry, just speak towards me.
Okay, good. So this was a time when there was a prophet named Agabus.
Toto bolo v čase, keď žil prorok, čo sa volal Agabus,
who had just come to Antioch where Paul and Barnabas had been ministering. They had just come to Antioch where Paul and Barnabas were ministering.
Ktorý prišiel na to miesto, kde Paul a Barnabas slúžili.
And he said that there was going to be this famine across the whole inhabited earth.
Amen.
A famine, yeah.
A ten povedal, že bude veľký hlad po celom svete.
And so the church in Antioch that was meeting there knew that those in Jerusalem were going to need some financial help and for the poor and
takže
so forth during this famine.
Takže tá cirkev, ktorá bola v Antiochii, vedela, že cirkev v Jeruzaleme bude potrebovať nejakú finančnú pomoc.
So Paul and Barnabas had come to give this gift to them. And they had with them also John Mark.
Takže prichádza Pavol a Barnabáš, aby odovzdali tento dar a spolu s ním bol Jan Marek.
And then we come to today's text.
A teraz prichádzame k dnešnému textu.
And it's just one verse.
Je to jeden verš.
And it's Acts chapter 13 verse 13, if you could go there with me.
Skutky apoštolov 13. kapitola 13. verš, ak si môžete nájsť.
And it says here, this is after they had begun their journey already.
To čo nás sa píše, to už je potom, čo začal tá cesta.
And it says, keď sa Pavel a jeho spoločníci odplavili z Pafu a prišli do Pergy a Pamfílie, Jan sa od nich oddelil a vrátil sa do Jeruzalema. So John leaves them.
Takže Jan sa od nich oddelil.
We don't know exactly why in this verse.
Nie je celkom jasné prečo z tohto veršu.
We don't know what were the situations exactly from this verse.
Z tohto veršu nie je jasné, aká bola situácia.
But suddenly, after a fruitful ministry, difficult ministry, somehow we see John decides to leave.
Ale zrazu po plodnej a ťažkej službe sa Jan rozhodol, že odíde.
So today we're going to do some mining in other texts so we can find out what are some of the clues here, what took place here.
Takže dnes sa pokúsime ťažiť z iných textov, aby sme prišli na to, čo sa vlastne stalo.
And I'd like to challenge us as we do so this morning to think about the seriousness of abandoning the gospel mission.
Chcel by som nás všetkých dnes ráno vyzvať, aby sme sa zamysleli nad vážnosťou, keď sa oddialíme od posolstva evanjelia.
And what the impacts of that would be to the body of Christ and to the furtherance of the gospel in all the world.
A aký by to malo dopad, alebo aký to bude mať dopad na cirkev a hodnotu evanjelia svetu.
And begin to think about what that was like for them and the seriousness of it, and think about what it would be like for us today as well and the seriousness of it if we were to be deserters to the gospel mission.
A zamyslíme sa nad tým, aké to muselo byť pre nich a aká bola vážnosť tej situácie, aké by to bolo pre nás v dnešnej dobe a vážnosť tej situácie, pokiaľ by sme sa stali dezertérmi tej hodnoty evanjelia.
And if we know someone among us, what would it be that we should do so as to make sure they stay true to the mission, that they don't desert, that they stay among us and grow.
Pokiaľ by to bolo teda medzi nami, pokiaľ by taký človek bol, čo by sme mu povedali, aby ostali verní práve tej hodnote evanjelia a tej misii?
In order to learn a bit more, we need to turn back a few pages to Acts chapter 12.
Na to, aby sme si toto pozreli, potrebujeme sa vrátiť pár strán do skutkov svätých apoštolov 12. kapitola.
And we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 17.
A prečítame si verše 1 až 17.
So we see a story here about of Peter.
A tu je príbeh Petra.
It says here, v tom čase král Herodes položil ruky na niektorých cerkví, aby ich trápil. Mečom zahubil Janovho brata Jakuba. A keď videl, že sa to Židom páči, dal chytiť aj Petra. Boli práve dni nekvasených chlebov. Keď sa ho zmocnil, uvrhol ho do väzenia a dal ho strážiť štyriom strážam po štyroch vojakoch. Po Veľkej noci ho chcel predviesť pred ľuď. Petra teda strážili v žalári, ale cirkev sa za ňoho ustavične modlili k Bohu. So Peter's in prison.
Takže Peter je v žalári.
And the body of Christ is praying for him.
Telo Kristovo sa za neho modlí.
They've gathered together.
Oni sa stretávajú
somewhere.
Niekde.
To pray for him.
Aby sa za neho modlili.
We'll learn where in just a moment.
Povieme si, že kde za chvíľku.
Tej noci, keď sa ho Herodes chystal predviesť, spal Peter medzi dvoma vojakmi. Zjazený dvoma retazami a aj pred dvermi boli strážnici, ktorí strážili väzenie. Zrazu tam stál pánov anjel a v miestnosti zažiarilo svetlo. Anjel udrel Petra do boku, zobudil ho a povedal: rýchlo, vstaň. Na to mu spadli reťazie z rúk. A anjel mu povedal: opáš sa a obuj si sandale. Peter to urobil. Anjel mu potom povedal: prehod si plášť a poď za mňou. Peter vyšiel teda von a šiel za ním a ani nevedel, že to, čo sa dialo prostredníctvom anjela, je skutočnosťou. Domnieval sa, že má videnie. Prešli cez prvú i cez druhú stráž a prišli k železnej bráne, ktoré viedla do mesta. Tá sa im otvorila sama od seba. Vyšli von, prešli jedno úloco a tam mu anjel odrazu zmizol. Tu Peter prišiel k sebe a povedal si: teraz naozaj viem, že pán poslal svojho anjela a vyslobodil ma z Herodesovej ruky aj zo všetkého, čo očakával židovský ľud. Keď si to uvedomil, šiel k domu Márie, matky Jána, ktorý sa volal Marek. Je tam. Tu bolo mnoho zhromoždených, ktorí sa modlili. Keď zabuchol na dvere brány, vyšla von služka menom Rode a načúvala. Keď spoznala Petrov hlas, od radosti ani neodvrila bránu, len vbehla v ňu a oznámovala, že pri bráne stojí Peter. On jej povedali: žalieš? No, ona tvrdila, že je to tak. Oni však povedali: to je jeho anjel. Peter však neprestával buchať. Keď odvrili, uvedili ho a boli celí bez seba. Dal im ruko znamenie, aby mlčali, a potom im vyrozprával, ako ho pán vyviedol zo zálara. Napokon dodal: oznámte to Jakubovi a bratom. Potom vyšiel von a odobral sa na iné miesto. So here we have, we learned that Peter, after being let out of prison, went immediately to the house of John Mark.
Takže tu čítame, že Peter hneď potom, ako bol vyslobodený z väznice, ide do domu Marka.
At this point we don't know very much about John Mark. In fact, his name was only used just to identify, separate out who this Mary was.
Nevieme v tomto momente nevieme, kto ten Marek v skutočnosti je, a jeho meno sa tam spomína len preto, aby sme vedeli, o ktorú Máriu sa jedná.
Because there are so many Marys in the Bible, obviously we need to know which Mary this is, right?
Nakoľko v Biblii je toľko veľa Márií, že musíme identifikovať, o ktorú sa tu jedná.
So he's just a little place marker there. Okay, so this is a different Mary. This is the Mary, the mother of John Mark.
Takže to je taká poznámka pod čiarou, že toto je Mária, matka Mareka.
And we know a little bit about them in the fact that they had a house big enough to have a big group of people there to pray.
A trošku o nich vieme, minimálne toľko, že mali dom, ktorý bol dostatočne veľký na to, aby sa tam mohli stretnúť skupina ľudí a modliť sa.
And they also had this servant girl named Rhoda. If you had a servant in your house, that meant you had some money.
A taktiež mali slúžku menom Rode, a pokiaľ ste mali slúžku v dome, znamená, že mali ste isté aj peniaze.
So we know that there are people of means.
Takže vieme, že to sú dobre zaopatrení ľudia.
And we know that there is this prayer meeting going on, and isn't it interesting?
A čo je zaujímavé, vieme, že deje sa tam toto modlitebné stretnutie.
And they were praying for Peter's release fervently.
A oni sa upenlivo modlili za vyslobodenie, prepustenie Petra.
It almost becomes kind of humorous because when suddenly Peter shows up at their door.
A je to až tak humorné, lebo zrazu sa Peter ukáže pri dverách.
And Rhoda tells him that he's there.
A Rhoda im vraví, že Peter prišiel.
They say, "Oh, you're out of your mind."
A oni hovoria, že šalieš.
What kind of prayer meeting was that, right?
Čo za modlitebné stretnutie to vlastne bolo?
Let's have a prayer meeting, but we aren't going to expect any results.
Tak sa modlíme a nečakajme žiadne výsledky.
Interesting to think about.
Zaujímavé, porozmýšľajme.
But finally they realize, oh wow, Rhoda's right, he's really at the door.
A potom je vlastne uverili, že áno, Rhoda má pravdu, Peter je pri dverách.
And we get from this the fact that John Mark was one that hung out with Peter.
A z tohto vidíme, že Ján Marek bol tým jedným, ktorý slúžil spolu s Petrom.
This was Peter's home church. These are the people he did life with and prayed with and grew with.
Petrov domovský zbor. Toto sú ľudia, s ktorými Peter zdieľa svoj život.
So we return back to our story and we see that John Mark is now with Peter and Barnabas in Antioch.
Takže keď sa vrátime do nášho príbehu, vidíme, že Ján Marek je s Pavlom a Barnabášom v Antiochy.
That's the next instance we see of them, and he was a help to them. He was an assistant to them.
To je ten ďalší krát, keď ho môžeme vidieť v písme, a on tam bol ako pomocník, asistent.
So we're starting to learn a little bit more about him. He obviously had the gift of helps in some way.
Tak sme sa opäť niečo o ňom naučili, zjavne mal dar služby.
And they go on this first missionary journey together.
A tak išli spoločne na tento prvý misijný výjazd.
But now John Mark has abandoned them. He's left them.
A zrazu Ján Marek ich opustil.
If we go now to Acts chapter 15.
A keď pôjdeme teraz do skutkov 15. kapitoly.
Verse 36 to 40.
A verše 36 až 40. Takže 15, 36 až 40.
We learn more about the story of what took place after Paul and Barnabas returned from their first missionary journey.
Tak tu môžeme čítať trochu viac o tom, čo sa stalo po tom, čo sa vrátili z tejto misijnej cesty.
We learn more about John Mark.
A čítame tu viac o Jánovi Marekovi.
And in verse 36 of chapter 15 of Acts, it says,
v 36. verši, 15. kapitole,
po niekoľkých dňoch povedal Pavel Barnabášovi, vrátime sa a ponavštevujme brato, aby sme videli, ako sa majú vo všetkých tých mestách, kde sme hlásali pánovo slovo. Barnabáš chcel vziať so sebou aj Jána, prímením Marek. Ale Pavel usudil, že netreba brať zo sebou toho, kto ich v Pamfílii opustil a nešiel pracovať vedno s nimi. Došlo medzi nimi k ostrému sporu a tak sa rozišli. Barnabáš si vzal Marka a odplavil sa na Cyprus. Pavel si zasa vybral Silasa. Bratia ho zverili do pánovej milosti a tak sa vydal na cestu. Chodil po Syrii a Kiliky a posilňoval cirkvi. So suddenly we get some more information about what took place when John Mark left them on their journey.
Takže zrazu tu máme trochu viac informácií o tom, čo sa v skutočnosti stalo, keď Ján Marek ich opustil na ich misijnej ceste.
Paul did not want to take John Mark on this next missionary journey.
A Pavol nechcel zobrať Jana Mareka na ďalšiu misijnú cestu.
But Barnabas did.
Ale Barnabáš chcel.
In Colossians 4 chapter 10, we learn that Barnabas was actually a cousin of John Mark.
A v Kolosenským 4:10 sa môžeme dočítať, že Barnabas
was the cousin of John Mark.
A že Barnabáš bol vlastne bratranec Jana Mareka.
Some scholars will debate, no, well, maybe he was his uncle, but regardless, he was a relative.
Niektorí učitelia hovoria, že možno, že bol strýko, ale bez ohľadu na to, boli vlastne rodina. Mm-hmm.
And we know that Barnabas was also one who had means as well. He was rich.
A taktiež vieme, že Barnabáš bol tiež na tom dobre, mal veľa peňazí.
Because perhaps you remember in Acts chapter 4, Barnabas was the one that sold some land in Cyprus.
And môžeme čítať, že Barnabáš bol ten, ktorý predal pôdu, pozemok na Cypre.
Where he was from, and he laid this money at the apostles' feet.
A priniesol tieto peniaze k nohám apoštolov.
So that they could use it for whoever had need.
Aby ich mohli použiť na pre čokoľvek, čo bola potreba.
And we learned then that Barnabas was given the name the son of encouragement because he was such an encourager.
A tiež čítame, že Barnabáš dostal taktiež meno syn povzbudenia, pretože bol takým povzbudením.
So in this incident with John Mark, Paul was very familial because he was a relative. He was also known for being an encourager. And it was one that would be more gracious, perhaps.
A v tejto situácii s Janom Markom vidíme, že Barnabáš bol ten taký viac milujúci, viac milostivý, tým, že boli aj rodina, že proste držal s ním.
And Paul was one who was a bit more direct and to the point.
A Pavol bol ten, ktorý bol priamy k veci hovoril.
Very truth-driven.
A veľmi bol hnaný pravdou, aby povedal pravdu.
But I want us to remember this morning that the body of Christ needs both.
Chcem, aby sme si dnes ráno pamätali, že telo Kristovo znamená oboje.
In John chapter 1 verse 14, we learn
Jánovi 1. kapitoli 14. verši.
We learn that Jesus himself was full of grace and full of truth.
Čítame, že aj Ježiš bol plný milosti a pravdy.
Not one or the other.
Nie jedno alebo druhé.
But both.
Ale oboje.
So we need to be people of that speak gracefully and with truth always.
Takže mali by sme byť ľudia, ktorí hovoria milostivo, ale pravdivo.
So between Paul and Barnabas, he was getting both for sure.
Pri Pavlovi a Barnabášovi zažil Ján Marek oboje.
But we don't get any sense from the author of the book of Acts, which is Luke. We don't get any sense that either one of them was necessarily wrong
ale,
in their response.
Ale Lukáš, ktorý bol autorom knihy skutkov svätých apoštolov, nedáva nejakým spôsobom najavo
that either one of them was wrong in their response.
Nedáva najavo, že jeden alebo druhý nemal pravdu alebo mal zlý postoj.
There seemed to be freedom in making this decision as to what we should do next, but there was this sharp disagreement.
A zdá sa, že tam bola sloboda v tom, aby sa rozhodli, že čo pôjdu robiť ďalej, a bola tam ostrá výmena.
In the verse there it does appear that the church maybe slightly tips towards Paul because they actually bless them and send them out, but they don't say that regarding Barnabas and John Mark's journey to Cyprus.
A v tom verši sa môže zdať, že cirkev sa ako keby priklonila na stranu Pavla, pretože ho teda vysielajú a žehnajú mu, ale nevraví sa tam, že by boli nejako negatívne sa nehovorí o Barnabášovi a jeho rozhodnutí.
Let's learn a little bit more as to what it might have been that caused John to actually turn and leave the journey.
Skúsme zistiť, že čo to mohlo byť, čo donútilo Jana Marka, aby ich opustil na tej prvej misijnej ceste.
Yeah, John Mark. When I was growing up, my brother's name is John.
Jan Marek, keď ja som vyrastal, meno môjho brata je Jan.
And my name is Mark.
A ja sa volám Marek.
And so my dad, as he was getting older, he was having a hard time remembering which ones we were.
A môj otec si to vždy miešal a ťažko sa mu pamätalo, kto je kto.
And so often when my dad would be talking to me, often I would hear, Jamark!
Jamark! Častokrát, keď ma otec chcel zavolať, tak ma zavolal, že Jan Marek.
So I'm used to hearing this name.
Takže je to pre mňa veľmi známe oslovenie.
But we need to go to some other text to learn what it was that perhaps John Mark why it was that he left, and it's really important.
Na to, aby sme zistili, prečo naozaj Jan Marek ich opustil, potrebujeme sa pozrieť aj do iných textov.
Now we can conjecture and wonder, well, maybe he just wasn't used to this really hard work on this difficult journey.
A mohli by sme tak uvažovať, že možno nebol tak zvyknutý na ťažkú prácu, na ťažkej misijnej ceste.
Maybe he wasn't used to being persecuted and was really fearful about all the stuff going on around them.
That was dangerous. Bol veľmi prestrašený z toho, čo sa tam dialo, nebol zvyknutý, že by ho niekto prenasledoval.
And we can speculate about that and make a case for those as well and learn something from that idea.
A mohli by sme o tom špekulovať a pozrieť sa na to z tej perspektívy a niečo z toho naučiť.
But as I look at the whole narrative in this story of Acts, it seems like there's something else bigger happening that's even more serious.
Ale keď sa pozrieme na celý príbeh, ktorý tak plynie knihou Skutkov svätých apoštolov, vidíme, že tam sa jedná o niečo väčšie a možno vážnejšie, než taká myšlienka.
And to discover this, we need to go to the book of Galatians.
Na to, aby sme na to prišli, potrebujeme sa otočiť stranu do knihy Galatianom.
And we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 11.
Kapitola 2, verš 11.
As I said, we're mining the Bible here to find some clues.
Ako som povedal, budeme dolovať v Biblii, aby sme našli nejaké nápovedy.
So stay with me. So verses 11 through 13.
11 až 13, druhej kapitole.
We see here an incident that took place while Paul and Barnabas while Paul was in Galatia and Peter was there also.
A tu vidíme takú nezhodu, ktorá sa udiala, keď Pavol bol v Galácii a Peter tam bol tiež.
Actually in Antioch, sorry, but they were in Antioch.
Dobre, boli v Antiochii.
And Paul is writing about this to the church at Galatia.
A toto píše Pavol zboru Galatianom.
He says this. Ale keď prišiel Kefas do Antiochie, postavil som sa osobne proti nemu, lebo si zaslúžil pokarhanie. Kým totiž neprišli niektorí od Jakuba, jedoval spolu s pohanmi. Ale keď prišli, odstahoval sa a oddeloval, lebo sa bal stupencov obriezky. A s ním sa pretvárovali aj ostatní Židia. Takže aj Barnabáša zachvatilo ich pokrytectvo. Keď som teda videl, že nejdu priamo za pravdu Evanjelia, povedal som Kefášovi pred všetkými, ak ty, hoci si Žid, žiješ pohansky a nie židovský, prečo nutíš pohanov žiť židovským spôsobom? Okay, so we see this confrontation that Paul has with Peter.
Vidíme túto konfrontáciu, ktorú má Pavol s Petrom.
Peter had become totally comfortable being with those those who were Gentiles, being with them and adopting their customs.
A Peter sa tak prispôsobil byť s tými, ktorí boli pohania, a prispôsobil sa ich zvykom.
But now suddenly, when these Judaizers, is what they were called, when they came from Jerusalem to visit up there where they were in Antioch,
Teraz zrazu, keď prichádzajú judaisti, alebo teda vyznávači židovského náboženstva, a prichádzajú za nimi do Antiochie,
Peter suddenly changes his behavior and makes all his Gentile converts around him think, oh, we've got to change our behavior too and do Jewish things and be circumcised and eat the way Jews eat.
Peter sa zrazu prispôsobuje týmto Židom, ktorí prichádzajú, a tí pohania, ktorí boli s ním, začali rozmýšľať, že či by sme sa my mali prispôsobať práve Židom, či by sme mali začať jesť, ako jedia Židia, či by sme mali podstúpiť obriezku a iné otázky.
So to put it bluntly, as the text does,
takže jednoducho povedané,
Peter was being a hypocrite.
Peter bol pokrytec.
Not only Peter, but Barnabas fell along with it, along with him as well.
A nie len Peter, ale ešte aj Barnabáš sa k nemu pridal.
And these were important guys that had something to say.
A toto boli veľmi dôležití chlapi, ktorí mali čo povedať.
These were the ones carrying the gospel to the world, to the Jews and to the Gentiles.
Toto boli tí dvaja, ktorí niesli evanjelium do celého sveta a pohanom a Židom.
And they were still stuck in their thinking, tipping towards the law. Yeah, we need to follow the law still.
A ešte vždy sa zasekli, aby sa tak priklonili k tomu, že musíme nasledovať zákon.
And Paul would have nothing to do with it.
A Pavol,
he would have nothing to do with that.
S tým predsa nič nemal.
So much so that he got like face to face with Peter and says, "Hey, what's up with this?"
A až tak veľmi, že prišiel za Petrom a povedal, "Hey, to čo má znamenať?"
So he was very direct. He was very truth driven because he was defending the gospel.
Bol veľmi priamy a pravdovravný, lebo obhajoval evanjelium.
And it was a critical moment.
Bol to veľmi kritický moment.
And remember, Peter and Barnabas are real close to John Mark, aren't they?
A pamätajme si, že Peter a Barnabáš sú veľmi blízki k Jánovi Marekovi.
It's interesting to realize that this event that Paul is talking about in that took place in Antioch.
Je zaujímavé vidieť, že táto príhoda, ktorá sa udiala v Antiochy,
took place just after John, shortly after John abandoned that missionary journey.
Sa udiala v skutočnosti krátko na to, ako Ján Marek ich opustil na prvej misijnej ceste.
It would make total sense that John Mark was not able to deal with the Gentiles on this missionary journey, not following Jewish customs and still being saved.
Dalo by úplný zmysel, pokiaľ by sme usúdili, že Ján Marek mal možno problém, alebo nevedel sa stotožniť s tým na tejto misijnej ceste, že pohania sú taktiež zachránení ako aj Židia.
Because he would have had similar tendencies to Peter and Barnabas, who were of that mindset as well.
Mal by pravdepodobne veľmi podobné sklony ako aj Peter a Barnabáš.
So John Mark abandons the journey, he goes back to Jerusalem, goes home.
Takže Ján Marek opúšťa túto misijnú cestu a ide naspäť domov do Jeruzalema.
And where he lives are these Judaizers.
A tam, kde on žije, tam sú títo judaisti.
That he could have easily had a conversation with and say, "Hey, I was on this missionary journey." It's like Paul's leading them to Christ, but they're not keeping into the law. They're following the law and they're not and there's this I don't know what to do about this.
Kde stretáva vlastne tých svojich ľudí a s nimi sa rozpráva, že pozrite, bol som s nimi na misijnej ceste a Pavol tam hovorí pohanom a privádza ich, akože hovoríme evanjelium a neviem, ako sa s ním stotožniť.
So it looks as though perhaps John Mark was kind of like a tattletale and sent these Judaizers up to Antioch to say, "Hey, what's going on here?" And this whole confrontation.
Takže tak trochu to vyzerá, ako keby Ján Marek išiel naspäť do Jeruzalema a v vozovkách nabonzoval práve Pavla, že čo si o tomto myslíte, či je to v poriadku, čo robia? A vyslali, a tým pádom oni sa rozhodli, že idú pozrieť, ako sa tam darí.
And from this incident,
a z tejto nezhody,
it turned into a large meeting back in Jerusalem.
Large
meeting.
Meeting.
Meeting. Meeting, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Z tejto nezhody, čo sa stalo, že sa udialo jedno veľké stretnutie v Jeruzaleme.
Yes. And this is called the Jerusalem Council.
Toto nazývame
Jerusalem Council, yeah. Council, thank you.
Jeruzalemský koncil.
We you can read about the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15.
O tomto koncile v Jeruzaleme môžeme čítať v 15. kapitole.
I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but that's where you will see it.
Nebudem to celé čítať, ale tam by ste to mohli nájsť.
And it was all about resolving this issue.
A celé to bolo o tom, aby sa uzhodli, ako vyriešiť túto situáciu.
What is really essential to the gospel message?
Čo je v skutočnosti podstatou
evanjelia? What is it that the Gentiles must do and not do?
Čo je to, čo pohania majú a nemajú robiť?
And from that time forward, they made it very clear.
A od toho času to bolo veľmi jasné.
That is len v Kristovi. That it's only len v Kristovi. That it's only in Christ alone.
Thank you. Že jedná sa len o Krista.
And this is essential.
A to je to dôležité.
We need to remember what is at the core of the gospel message and not water it down with anything else.
Musíme si pamätať, čo je podstatou evanjelia a nerozpúšťať tú vážnosť a posolstvo ničím iným.
It's interesting to see that even in the midst of disagreement,
a je zaujímavé vidieť, že ešte aj uprostred týchto nesúhlasov a hádok,
this disagreement between Paul and Barnabas,
a tejto hádky medzi Pavlom a Barnabášom,
that God's purposes still moved forward.
Že Boží zámer ide naďalej dopredu.
In fact, they were doubled.
V skutočnosti sa zdvojnásobil ich potenciál.
Because instead of one missionary journey, now there were two happening simultaneously.
Pretože namiesto jednej misijnej cesty, zrazu boli dve misijné cesty.
But it leaves one a little bit unsatisfied to know, man, there's this tension between Paul and John Mark and Paul and Barnabas and this isn't right in the body of Christ. I mean, this something's got to happen here. Something's got to resolve.
No mohli by sme polemizovať, že toto nie je celkom v poriadku. Hej, je tam nezhoda v tele Kristovom, v cirkvi. Niečo sa musí ešte udiať, nejako tom treba vyriešiť.
And we have pictures of beautiful pictures of how a deserter can be restored.
A tu máme krásne príklady toho, ako dezertér, odpadlík môže byť znovu ustanovený.
Look with me first. You get hints of it in Paul's epistles. So look again to Colossians chapter 4 verse 10.
Náznaky toho sú roztrúsené v Pavlových listoch, takže keď otočíme do knihy
Colossians
Kolosanom
4 verse
10.
And there we see Paul writing like he does often at the end of his letters with lots of greetings.
Tam vidíme, ako Pavol píše, tak ako aj zvykne v ostatných listoch, s pozdravom na konci toho listu.
And he says this, pozdravuje vás môj spoluväzeň Aristarchos a Barnabášov bratinec Marek, o ktorom ste dostali pokyny. Primite ho, keď k vám príde. So we see the relationship is getting restored with Paul and Barnabas.
Tu môžeme vidieť, že ten vzťah Pavla a Barnabáša sa uzdravuje.
And that's also where we see that he was a relative of
z tohto textu
Barnabas,
vidíme,
John Mark was.
Jan Marek bol bratranec, alebo teda príbuzný Barnabáša.
And let's look then also at Philemon, the book of Philemonovi.
Knihe, teda liste Philemonovi, môžeme čítať.
And in verse 24, again at the end where he gives greetings.
V 23. verši na konci, kde píše pozdrav.
He says, pozdravuje ťa Epafras, môj spoluväzen v Kristu Ježišovi, i moji spolupracovníci, Marek. Jej. Aristarchos, Demas, Lukáš. Milosť Pána Ježíša Krista s vašim duchom. So we see that John Mark was restored.
Vidíme, že
to Paul.
Jan Marek sa vrátil k Pavlovi.
And how does this happen?
Ako sa to stalo?
Well, we know that after the Jerusalem Council, Peter and Barnabas, they turned a corner and really recognized, yeah, we were not right to tell these Gentiles that they need to do this.
Takže
we were wrong in being hypocritical that way.
Takže vidíme, že potom koncile v Jeruzaleme a Peter and
Barnabas.
Peter a Barnabáš sa teda pohli ďalej a uznali, že nemali pravdu a nejednali správne s tými pohanmi a išli ďalej.
And naturally because John Mark hung with those guys during that time still.
A nakoľko Jan Marek v tom čase bol účastný toho, čo sa dialo?
He's now seeing his mentors' hearts changing as well.
Vidí, ako srdcia jeho učiteľov sa menia.
And he's now for the next 10 years is off the picture, but we know he's hanging with Peter.
A na ďalších 10 rokov sa o ňom nič nespomína, nevieme čo bolo, ale vieme, že sa držal Petra.
And he's hanging with Peter a lot.
A držal sa ho veľa.
He's going on missionary journeys with both Barnabas and also with Peter during this time, all the way even to Rome.
A chodí na misijné cesty s Barnabášom a s Petrom a až tak ďaleko ako po Rím.
And it's a good reminder for those of us who lead, and that should be really all of us, we all lead in some way, those around us.
Je to taká dobrá pripomienka pre nás všetkých, ktorí sme vedúci a v skutočnosti každý v niečom sme vedúci v našich životoch.
Those around us are learning from us.
Lebo tí, čo sú okolo nás, sa od nás učia.
They're watching us.
Oni nás pozorujú.
They're taking cues from us.
A berú si od nás také náznaky.
They will eventually probably repeat things we have said.
A časom možno opakujú to, čo my sme povedali.
How are we leading them?
Ako ich vedieme?
As it relates to that which is so important, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
V súvislosti s tým, čo je tak dôležité, čo je evanjelium Ježiša Krista.
Keeping the main thing, that it's only in Christ alone.
Ako udržať tú hlavnú vec, že iba v Kristovi.
Not by any works that we can do.
Nie žiadnymi činmi, ktoré môžeme robiť.
Not from keeping the law or
dodržiavaním zákona,
keeping church tradition,
alebo dodržiavaním tradícií,
or wearing the right kind of clothing, or wearing the right kind of clothing,
alebo obliekaním sa do správneho oblečenia.
Whatever it may be, we need to make sure that we keep the gospel pure.
Čokoľvek by to malo byť, musíme sa zamerať na to, aby sme udržali evanjelium čisté.
And we have evidence that John Mark became very passionate about that too.
A tu máme dôkazy, že Jan Marek sa stal veľmi zanietený preto.
Look with me to the book of Peter, 1 Peter.
Pozrieme sa do 1. Petrovej.
Chapter 5.
Kapitola 5.
And again, we get a lot from these little greetings at the ends of these letters.
Opäť veľa sa dozvedáme z tých pozdravov na konci listov.
And look what Peter says about John Mark.
O Jánovi Marekovi.
He says, and he's there in prison, right? Peter is.
Peter je vo väzení a píše toto.
He says, pozdravuje vás spolu vyvolená v Babylone a môj syn Marek. So Mark became like a son to Peter.
Tu vidíme, že Marek sa stal akoby synom Petra.
He spent so much time with him.
Tak veľa času spolu strávili.
And this is a code language that he uses here in
toto je trochu zakódované, ako je to napísané.
The church that is in Babylon.
že cirkev, ktorá je v Babylone,
that so as to protect the church and not cause them to be discovered and be persecuted in Rome.
Práve kvôli tomu, aby ochránil cirkev, aby ich nemohli nájsť a prenasledovať.
Peter's writing this letter during a period of great persecution.
Peter píše tento list v období veľkého prenasledovania.
It's the time when Nero set the city of Rome on fire.
To je práve v tom čase, keď Nero nechal podpáliť celý Rím.
And he then blamed the Christians for it.
A potom obvinil kresťanov z toho.
So that he could start this big persecution against them.
Na to, aby mohol započať veľké prenasledovanie proti kresťanom.
And Mark is experiencing all of this with Peter in this great tension and great difficult moment.
A Marek toto všetko zažíva spolu s Petrom v čase týchto veľkých tlakov a ťažkostí.
And it would have been shortly after this that Peter would have been crucified upside down on a cross.
A krátko po tomto bol Peter ukrižovaný dole hlavou na kríži.
Peter knew that he was coming probably to the end of his days.
A on vedel, že sa blíži ku koncu svojich dní.
And Mark was traveling with him all these years and collecting data from him.
A Marek s ním cestoval celé tieto roky a tak zberal informácie a múdrosti od neho.
So much so that now John Mark, who was once this insignificant kid at Mary's house that we knew nothing about,
až do tej miery, že teraz Jan Marek, ktorý kedysi bol neznámy syn Márie v nejakom dome,
has now grown to the point where he's right there with Peter at the end of his days.
Vyrástol až do tohto momentu, kde je na konci Petrových dní s Petrom.
And he's one who had abandoned the faith earlier.
A on je práve ten, ktorý predtým opustil ako keby vieru.
But there were strong words spoken into his life about the gospel being Christ alone.
Ale silná reč bola zasiata do jeho života o tom, že evanjelium je iba Kristus.
And the beautiful restoration that we see is that this same John Mark became the mouthpiece for Peter.
A to krásne obnovenie, ktoré vidíme, je, že tento istý Jan Marek sa stal ako keby ústami Petra.
And wrote down all the things that he learned, that he heard Peter say.
A zapísal všetky veci, ktoré počul, že Peter hovorí.
And that became traditionally known to be what we hold in our hands as the gospel according to Mark.
A to je, čo tradične sa uvádza ako evanjelium podľa Marka.
According to tradition, the gospel of Mark, that is John Mark.
Tradícia uvádza, že evanjelium podľa Marka napísal práve tento Ján Marek.
Is that not a beautiful picture?
Nie je to krásny príbeh?
Of a restored deserter.
Obnovenia odpadlíka.
It gives each one of us hope, doesn't it?
Dáva to každému z nás nádej, nie tak?
I mean, think about your own personal journey with Christ.
Keď sa zamyslíš nad tvojim osobným príbehom alebo cestou s Kristom.
And as we follow Christ, there are moments where we have lapses, or we have a lapse of faith, or we have troubles with sin in our life in some way.
A ako nasledujeme Krista, tak máme obdobia, kedy možno odbočíme alebo nejakým spôsobom pretrhneme práve ten kontakt s Kristom alebo hriech v našom živote.
And perhaps there's this moment of desertion from the truth.
A možno sú tam také chvíle a momenty dezertérstva, odpadlíctva od pravdy.
Do you remember a moment like that in your life, anybody?
Spomínate si na taký moment vo vašom živote?
Or moments?
Alebo momenty, chvíle, dni, roky?
If you're comfortable, just get in a group of two or three and talk about,
ak by ste mohli teraz vytvoriť tak možno skupinku dvoch, troch,
some moment in life where you were struggling and maybe deserted in some way, and how God maybe used someone to speak truth with grace to you.
Skúste sa zamysleť, že či ste mali v svojom živote čas, kedy ste boli možno chrbtom k Pánovi a Boh poslal niekoho, kto povedal také slova pravdy do vášho života.
Think about what was it you needed to hear in that moment of desertion.
Zamyslíme sa, že čo to bolo konkrétne, čo ste potrebovali počuť v tom období.
And what do you remember hearing from somebody who helped you along the way, if somebody did?
A čo si pamätáte, že ste počuli od toho, kto vám to povedal, pomohol vám?
Maybe it was a personal word from someone.
Možno to bolo nejaké osobné slovo od niekoho.
Maybe it was a face-to-face confrontation.
Možno, že to bolo
hey, what are you doing, Cornell?
Nejaké napomenutie tvárov tvár, čo robíš, Cornell?
Yeah. Maybe it was very strong and yet tempered with grace. Maybe it was a very strong, truthful statement and yet also it had grace behind it.
A možno, že to bolo veľmi pravdivý výrok, ale bol plný milosti.
Take a few minutes to talk about that amongst yourself.
Skúste sa o tom spolu porozprávať v skupinkách dvoch, troch medzi sebou.
I hope you had some good conversations and you can continue those after church this morning.
Dúfam, že ste si mohli čo to povedať a môžete pokračovať, keď skončíme.
I would like you to stay in your groups though and now I'd like for you to think about who is are there those in your sphere of influence that you need to approach.
Teraz sa môžete zamysleli, či je vo vašom kruhu vplyvu, vašom kruhu vplyvu niekto, koho by ste mohli osloviť.
With grace and truth.
S milosťou a pravdou.
So that it's a brother or a sister, so that they would come back and not be abandoning and not be
nejaký brat alebo sestra na to, aby sa vrátili naspäť a neodchádzali.
And not be deserting the gospel.
A neodchádzali od evanjelia.
Talk amongst yourself and ask and pray for one another to get that you would have courage to speak to whoever it is you feel.
Skúste sa tak poradiť medzi sebou, či viete o niekom takomto a modlite sa jeden za druhého, aby ste mali odvahu týmto ľuďom povedať.
And you don't need to mention names.
Nemusíte hovoriť mená.
You could talk about it in a situational sort of a way, but pray together and that you would have boldness to talk to people.
Right now,
yeah. Pray together in your groups.
Mm-hmm. Prosím, že by ste sa teraz skúsili modliť za tých, ktorí nemusíte hovoriť mená, ktorých vás napadnú, že by ste mali odvahu ich osloviť, aby sa vrátili naspäť k evanjeliu.
I want to give you another potential insight.
Ešte by som chcel dať možno jednu takú nápovedu.
To this character called John Mark.
Informáciu o tejto osobe, ktorá sa volá Jan Marek.
And we see it in the Gospel of Mark.
Čítame o nej v Evanjeliu podľa Marka.
Many times the gospel writers would give hints of themselves in the story.
Veľakrát autori evanjelií dávajú také náznaky o sebe počas toho príbehu, ktorý píšu.
They wouldn't actually say that they're the ones writing this gospel, but they would see them in the story in unique ways.
Neprezradia sa, že to sú práve tí, ktorí píšu evanjelium, ale je možné sa tam dočítať spôsobmi.
For instance, John in his gospel referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It was a kind of an interesting word.
Napríklad Ján vo svojom evanjeliu píše o sebe ako o učeníkovi, ktorého Ježiš miloval.
He also kind of had some fun at the tomb and said there was the one that ran faster than Peter to get to the tomb. He's talking about himself being a faster runner than Peter.
Napríklad, keď sa v Evanjeliu píše o tom, ako išli ku hrobu Ježiša, tak je napísané, že Ján bol ten, ktorý bežal rýchlejšie než Peter, aby akože bol rýchlejší, o sebe dobre píše.
We don't know this to be fact, but it is an interesting clue, I feel.
Toto, čo teraz ideme prečítať, nevieme ako fakt, ale je to zaujímavá myšlienka.
Many scholars believe that John Mark was the rich young ruler.
Veľa učiteľov, tých, čo študujú písmo, verí, že Ján Marek bol bohatý mladenec.
We know he was rich.
Vieme, že bol bohatý.
We know that he was young.
Vieme, že bol mladý.
Look at in Mark chapter 10.
V Markovi 10. kapitole.
When and it's verse 17 through 22.
V verši 17 až 22.
And we see him coming to the teacher and asking him, what must I do to have eternal life?
A prichádza k učiteľovi a pýta sa, čo musím spraviť, aby som obdržal večný život.
And Jesus says about keeping the commandments.
A Ježiš mu hovorí o tom, aby dodržiaval prikázania.
And the writer, the rich young ruler responds this way. On mu však povedal, učiteľu, všetko toto som zachovával od svojej mladosti. And then this next verse, in verse 21, suddenly it gets really personal, more personal than ever before as he's writing, and no other gospel has this.
A zrazu tu na 21. verši v zápäti sa to stáva veľmi osobným, viac osobným než čokoľvek iné napísané v evanjeliách.
It says, vtedy sa Ježíš nanho s láskou zahľadel a povedal mu, jedno ti chýba. Choď, predaj všetko, čo máš, daj chudobným a budeš mať poklad v nebi. Potom príď a nasleduj ma. Po týchto slovách mladenec zozmutnel a zármutný odišiel, lebo mal mnoho majetku. It's interesting to think about, isn't it?
Je to zaujímavé.
He looked at him,
Jesus.
Go ahead. Jesus looked at him very personally with love.
Ježiš sa na ňo s láskou zadíval.
That's something an author would feel writing about himself.
Toto je niečo, čo iba autor by mohol vedieť napísať, keď píše o sebe.
But if that's true, I've always felt, boy, I wonder what happened to the rich young ruler. He went away sad. Is that the end of the story and then he goes to hell or something or what?
Ak je toto pravda, ja som sa vždy tak zamýšľal, že to je príbeh bohatého mládenca, na konci je smutný, potom odchádza, tak čo, asi išiel do pekla, neviem, čo sa stalo.
But that doesn't have to be the end of the story.
A to nemusí byť koniec tohto príbehu.
I think it'd be pretty cool to find out one day for sure, but it's fun to think about.
A bude zaujímavé raz zistiť, že ako to naozaj bolo. Ale je to zaujímavé nad tým rozmýšľať.
Regardless, what we learn from this character, John Mark, is that God uses helpers.
Bez ohľadu na to, čo sme sa dnes mohli naučiť o Jánovi Markovi, vidíme, že Boh si používa pomocníkov.
Which was what John Mark was. He was a helper, an assistant.
To je čím Ján Marek bol asistent a pomocník.
In really big ways, he uses helpers. God does.
A vo veľmi veľkých veciach Boh používa si práve pomocníkov.
The most encouraging for me at least is that God restores deserters.
Ale to najpovzbudivejšie je, že Boh obnovuje odpadlíkov.
So our encouragement this morning, perhaps you're in a desertion sort of a moment in your life right now.
Takže chcem vás pozbudiť aj dnes ráno a možno, že sa práve nachádzaš v období svojho života, kde sa odvraciaš od Krista.
I encourage you.
Chcem ťa pozbudiť.
To turn your face to the face of Christ.
Aby si otočil svoju tvár tvárou k Ježišovi Kristovi.
And follow him and let him use you. And follow him. And let him use your life for his glory.
A nasledoval ho a nechal jeho použiť tvoj život na svoju slávu.
And if you're here this morning and you know someone who's in this desertion mindset right now.
A pokiaľ si tu dnes ráno a poznáš niekoho, vieš o niekom, kto je vo fáze svojho života takého oddelenia.
I encourage you to pray about being Christ to them and being full of grace and full of truth and approach them and love them like Jesus loves us.
Tak ťa chcem pozbudiť, aby si sa modlil, že by si vedel byť ako Kristus, byť plný lásky a milosti a vedel ich, vedel k ním pristúpiť a povzbudiť ich.
Let's pray together.
Modlíme sa spoločne.
Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy.
Oče, ďakujeme ti za tvoju milosť.
We thank you for the fact that you have great plans for each one of our lives.
Ďakujeme ti za to, že máš veľký plán pre každého jedného z nás.
And we thank you for the hope that we see in the stories from scripture.
Ďakujeme ti za tú nádej, ktorú vidíme v jednotlivých príbehoch v písme.
Thank you for the mercy you showed to Peter even when he denied you and ran from you.
A ďakujeme ti za tú milosť, ktorú si preukázal aj Petrovi, keď sa od teba odvrátil.
Thank you for the mercy you showed Barnabas when he was away running from you as well.
A ďakujeme ti za milosť, ktorú si preukázal Barnabášovi, keď od teba utekal.
Thank you for the mercy that we see in John Mark and how you used him mightily for your glory in spite of his shortcomings.
A ďakujem ti za milosť, ktorú si prejavil aj Jánovi Markovi a za spôsob, akým si ho použil napriek jeho nedostatkom.
Use us, Father, to speak grace and truth in the lives of those around us.
Použi si nás, Oče, aby sme vedeli hovoriť milosť a pravdu do životov ľudí okolo nás.
And if we're all alone and there's no one around us, Father, speak strongly to us by your Spirit.
Keď sme sami a nikto nie je okolo nás, Oče, hovor k nám mocne skrze svojho ducha.
We need your help to respond rightly to your Spirit's promptings in our life, to your Spirit's leading in our life.
Potrebujeme tvojho ducha, aby sme vedeli správne reagovať na veci v našich životoch.
So much is at stake for the kingdom.
Tak o tak veľa sa jedná.
So for the sake of your great name, we ask.
Takže pre veľkosť tvojho mena sa pýtame.
That you would use us.
A prosíme ťa, že by si nás použil.
For your glory in Jesus' name.
Na tvoju slávu v mene Ježiš.
Amen.
Amen.